For this afternoon's reading, with God's help, I'd like to stay in the same book that we read from this morning, the book of 1 Corinthians, and read chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered unto idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. May God bless the reading of his holy word. As we gather together this morning and we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read about and heard about how the church in Corinth had many issues. There were, the Apostle Paul spoke of divisions among them. There were outright sins, such as he mentioned fornication in their midst. There was brothers in the church bringing lawsuits against each other in a court of law where the Apostle Paul is telling them, God has given you to judge all things. God will give unto believers to judge the angels. Why are you taking each other to a court of law? He's saying, decide amongst yourselves what's right and wrong. You don't need to go to a court of the law. It's wrong. It's a horrible witness. So there were a lot of issues in this church at Corinth. They were very specific and very clearly sin, very clearly sinful issues taking place in that church at that time. And yet in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul here touches on a topic that seems was confusing to them at this time about whether a believer can eat something that was already given in sacrifice unto an idol. This is certainly not an issue that we struggle with today. It's not as if we know there's idols of our day, there's idols of every age, but widespread idolatry in terms of bowing down before a false image of a god, we don't really see that much in the world today. There are idols of our day. There are things that people work for that they obsess over to the point where they lose themselves. That is an idol in and of itself, but the idea of idol worship, bowing down before a false god, an image, is something that was very prevalent in this day and age that we don't see as much today, if at all. But it was an issue here in this church. We can imagine how there would be believers in that church at Corinth that used to worship idols before they came to know Christ, before they came to know Christ, before they were baptized, before they were believers. They worshiped other gods. They worshiped false gods. And so now these believers in this church at Corinth were struggling. Was it okay for them to eat something, some meat, some meal that was already prayed for and offered unto an idol? Would that be a sin for them? And the Apostle Paul here is making it very clear that eating something that's been sacrificed unto an idol in and of itself is not a sin, because he writes, there is only one God. There is no God but one. There is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So there is only one God. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying to eat something that's offered in sacrifice unto an idol in and of itself is not wrong. And Jesus himself even taught that it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, but what comes out. We don't defile ourselves in God's sight by what we eat, by what we partake of. But what comes out of our body, what comes out of our lips, defiles us if it's wrong, because that means it's a matter of the heart. If we have an issue with our heart, then we'll speak evil against somebody or whatever the case may be. So that will defile us. But in verse 8, he says, meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So it's not a sin issue here. Meat, eating something offered unto an idol, he's making it clear, is not a sin. However, the Apostle Paul here is reminding these believers that there is not in everyone that same knowledge. The entire church at Corinth had not yet come to that same realization. There were some that were worshiping false gods, that were in worship of idols. And for them now, they know what they were brought out of. They know that they know the sins very well that hindered them. They know the sins very well that the devil used against them to draw them away from their God. And now, for them to partake of something that was offered unto an idol, for them it was something big. Because they knew what they were in. They knew what their worship of an idol looked like. It was very real to them. Now, of course, they recognize there is no God but one, and they are now believers. But for their conscience, they didn't want to partake of those things. And the Apostle Paul here is teaching a lot about forbearance. So again, even though we don't have this exact issue in our day and age of meat being offered unto idols, that doesn't make this chapter one that we can just skip over and say, oh, it doesn't apply to us. Because if that were the case, it wouldn't be written in God's word for us. God's word is, we always hear, is as applicable now as it always was. It's alive, it's real, it's meaningful to us in any day and age. So the point of this chapter is teaching us about forbearance and how we are to go about our lives knowing that we don't all see everything eye to eye. We don't always agree on everything perfectly, and that's okay. Among a church as large as ours, there's different opinions at times of how things should be handled, and that's okay as long as it's not a sin issue. What's more important is how we deal with our, at times, disagreements. There's no time that the scriptures will justify a disagreement about a scriptural issue where there's a clear answer in scripture of what's right or what's wrong. But if the answer is not always clear in scripture, then we are going to have maybe a little bit different viewpoints. Now, how do we approach that? Do we let our different viewpoints divide us? Because that's even what the Bible asks us. From whence come wars and fightings among you? In a church, again, in a church as large as ours, we know that the devil is trying his best to tear us apart. He's trying his best to divide us into smaller groups. Even as was mentioned this morning, look how many Christian denominations there are. I have no idea how many there are. There are many. The devil's working to divide us because he knows that we're stronger together. When we gather together and worship the Lord in his name and we rely upon each other and we confess our faults one to another, we know that that strengthens us. And the devil himself knows that that strengthens us, which is why he wants to divide us so desperately. So we can't let our disagreements become divisions among us. And something that an issue that might not be sin in and of itself can become sin if the condition of our hearts is not right before God. And that's the example he's using here with meat offered in sacrifice unto idols. There can be someone that knows an idol is nothing. There's no such thing as a false god. There's no such thing as another god. There's only one God. So I'm going to eat of this meat that's offered unto an idol. For me, it makes no difference. And the Apostle Paul's saying, if that's your mindset, you're not wrong. You did no sin. You didn't defile yourself now by eating this meat that was offered unto an idol. An idol is nothing. But if you know, the Apostle Paul's saying, if you know that your brother has an issue with this, if you know that your brother was called out of idolatry and he was struggling in that sin, and you know that his conscience is weak, you know that when it comes to offering meat and sacrifice unto idols, if you know that your brother's struggling with that issue, don't partake of it. Don't take part of that, because you're going to harm your brother. You're going to do harm, spiritual harm to your brother. And then all of a sudden, what you did is now sin, if you did it with that mindset of disregard for your brother. So again, eating something that's sacrificed unto an idol is not a sin. He's making that very clear. But if you know that that's going to be a stumbling block, if you know that you're going to offend or cause your brother to sin by doing this, then you cannot do it. You cannot. Because then that issue becomes a sin issue. You just sinned. And that's where this chapter applies to us today and throughout all generations. How we interact with one another. What the condition of our heart is. That's what's important. That's what's going to determine what becomes of our disagreements. Are they going to become so large and divide us? Or are they just going to become things that we understand? Okay, hey, maybe he or she has a little bit different viewpoint than me. That's okay. It's okay. We all were raised in different homes. We have different viewpoints on certain things at times. But we have to understand each other's viewpoints, not put each other down. If we find ourselves being as those that partook of this meat that was offered in sacrifice unto idols, if we look at that as if it's not a sin, and we disregard what our brother or sister's opinion is completely, we look down upon them, we think our faith, our understanding is better, well, now we're in a state that the Apostle Paul warns of. This knowledge that we have has puffed us up. This knowledge that we have that something might not be a sin, we are now using that to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves proud. And that can very easily happen today in our midst, when there can be issues that aren't sin issues per se, and yet our brothers and sisters have a different viewpoint than us at times. What do we allow that? How far do we allow that to go before we just accept the fact that we're not going to agree on everything? Even the apostles, they didn't agree on everything. There were times of disagreement among them. That doesn't make it wrong in and of itself. But if I or we do something just to get at somebody else, just to show them, look how knowledgeable I am, then the condition of our heart is very poor. And we're in deep trouble then. We're in deep spiritual trouble, and we have sinned. We have sinned. And there are many issues that we can apply this to in today's day and age. I'm not trying to get into specifics here, but there are issues that we don't always fully agree on. And it might not be, in my eyes, it might not be a sin issue. There's no verse in the Bible that can tell me something is a sin or it's not a sin, so I feel that I'm free to do it. But maybe my brother or my sister is weak by this. So if I do it, if we do it just to get at somebody else, to stick it to them, to show them, look how knowledgeable I am, I can do this, we've sinned. We've sinned because I have no love for my brother or sister. That's what we're saying. I have no love. My knowledge has puffed me up so much that I'm disregarding the opinions of others. I'm disregarding it. I'm showing you my liberty in Christ. I'm showing you what I can do. Well, then our liberty, our freedom that we have in Christ has become a stumbling block to our brother. And it's going to cause someone to sin. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. If meat, he's saying in the last verse of this chapter, if meat make my brother to offend, if me eating this meat that's offered in sacrifice unto idols, if this is going to make my brother to offend, if I'm going to cause him to sin, then he says, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Look how willing the Apostle Paul here was, how willing he was to go a different way, to go out of his way to help his brother, who he's calling maybe a weak brother. And that doesn't mean now that we're to look at somebody that's weak and dismiss them and say, look how strong we are. Because let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, the Bible tells us. So the point is, we can't puff ourselves up, become proud, and show our liberty. We have to understand each other, understand our weaknesses, understand where somebody else might have had a different struggle than we did before their conversion. The devil knows what we were brought out of, and he's trying his best to bring us back into that. I believe we can all testify that the temptations that we struggle with day by day are the same things that we were tempted with before we were converted in many cases. Because the devil knew that that's what was a weakness to us before, He's going to keep trying to drive us back into that same sin that was such a hindrance for us in coming to know Christ. He's going to keep attacking us with those same thoughts, those same temptations, because he knows where we are weak. And where I am weak may not be where you are weak, and vice versa. We're all different. We're tempted in different ways. The devil knows exactly how to tempt us all. We can think of how many billions of people are alive now and have been alive, and the devil has temptations tailor-made for each and every one of us. So he knows where we struggle. He knows where there's a contentious point in our life that we are prone to stumble in. And we have to be on our guard. The Bible teaches us seemingly countless times to be on our guard, knowing that the devil will come to us with these same temptations. So we put our trust, we put our faith in the Lord, and we ask him for help to deliver us from any temptation. Even as we heard this morning, any addiction, we know that if we give that to the Lord, if we give it over to him, we know that the victory is assured. The victory is guaranteed. And just in speaking with a brother after the morning service, he pointed out, it's not just simply addictions, but any issue we have in our life, any marital issue, any issue among brothers and sisters, any issue that that we have, whatever it might be, if I can't look at somebody because I can't stand them, whatever it might be, that we just take it to the Lord in prayer and we trust and believe that he can and will solve that issue for us when we come to him with humbleness. When we come to him broken and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do here. The Lord will always deliver us out of whatever situation we are in. We believe that. That's why we gather, is it not? We gather here because we believe in what the Lord can do for us. Because we know what he's done for us personally. Our faith grows when we go through times of temptation and when the Lord delivers us. Our faith grows because we know what the Lord did for us in our heart. We feel it. We know that our thoughts were changed. Our motives, our intentions, our desires in life were changed. And we thank the Lord because we know that's his work. He did that for us. That was not our own ability to save ourselves from any sin. We know what the Lord did for us as believers. And so our faith grows. And so an unbeliever might ask us, how do you know that the Lord is real? We could just say, I know it. I feel him. I feel him working in me. An unbeliever might scoff at that and think that's a bunch of nonsense. But we know what the Lord does for us each and every day when we put our trust in him. And it doesn't matter what any atheist tells us, any unbeliever tells us, we know what the Lord does for us. We know that he can do all things if we just put our trust in him. So any divisions that are among us come only from the devil. It's never God's intention to divide us about anything. He wants us to live in love, in unity, one with another, to help each other, to lift each other up. But if our viewpoint, if our attitude is, I'm going to do something that I know my brother or sister doesn't like just to show them I can do it, well then I failed. If that's my attitude, if that's what I've done, I have failed. I failed miserably. And the Lord will not look kindly upon that because I caused my brother to offend. I offended my brother. I caused him to sin. I caused her to sin, my sister, whatever it might be. The Lord will never look kindly upon that. He'll never dismiss that as if it's something light. And again, maybe the struggle that I had in my unconverted state is not the same as yours. Maybe there's a brother that I know that struggled with alcohol. He struggled with that in his unconverted life. It tore him apart. The devil used that substance and caused so much pain in my brother's life. I know he had victory over that by putting his trust in the Lord. Now it's not my job to go to my brother and to tell him it's not a sin to drink alcohol. That's not my place. Because my brother knows what he was brought out of. He knows how much he struggled with that bottle. He knows. It was very real for him. Maybe I never struggled with it. But I know that my brother did. It's not my job now to go tell my brother, well, Jesus drank alcohol. It's not a sin. You can partake. It's not wrong. Just don't overdo it. If that's my attitude toward my brother, I'm not trying to gain him. I'm doing him much harm. The Apostle Paul is saying, don't even go to him and explain. Just don't even mention it. Don't even bring it up. And don't ever drink this alcohol in front of your brother who you know struggled with this so much because you love him. Don't you love your brother so much that you don't want to see him fall back into the same sins that he had before? Don't you know what he was brought out of? Don't these believers in Corinth, didn't they know what kind of idol worship was going on in that day and age? Of course they knew. This is foreign to us, living thousands of years later. We think about worshiping of idols, and it's strange to us. We don't even really hardly even know what that looks like. But that was very real to them in this day and age. It was very real to them. And this church knew that. And so the Bible teaches us consistently to not let our liberty, our freedom in Christ over whatever issue it might be, to not let that issue become a stumbling block or a hindrance for our brothers or our sisters. Because the point of being together is to encourage each other, to build each other up. How many times are there after services when we speak to each other and we confess our faults one to another? And we say we've been struggling with some temptation, or we've been struggling with some issue, whatever it might be. And we encourage each other. We go home and we pray for each other. And that we feel that helps. We feel it. Because that's the Lord's leading. That's His working. That's His direction. That's how He works. And we just marvel. And we thank God for this. So no, it's not enough for us to just stay at home by ourselves and to not mind anybody else and just be by ourselves and partake of worship like that and listen to a sermon by ourselves. It's not enough. We have to gather because we strengthen each other. We strengthen each other even through conversations on the phone. We strengthen each other. We build each other up. And this is what the Apostle Paul here is saying. We have to look out for each other. We have to look out for each other and not just dismiss somebody. Somebody's opinion might be different than mine. That's okay. What they choose to do with their children, what they choose maybe not to do with their children, or whatever the case may be, we have to understand that. We don't always know the reasons that we have. We can look at our brother or sister, and maybe they don't go somewhere with their kids that we think is okay to go to. They don't let their kids partake of something. It's not up to us now to go convince them that they're wrong and that we're right. We just simply understand, okay, that's their conviction. Our convictions are all different. The way that the Lord leads us is different at times. That's okay. And at times, we don't even know the reasons why our brother or our sister might have a different view. We don't even know. We might not have any idea. We can form thoughts into our minds that really are from the devil, and we try to dismiss each other and to think, I know exactly why that person's against this because so-and-so background. I know how their dad was, I know how their mom was, and they're the same way. That's not healthy. There are often times when we don't know the reasons why we have certain convictions, or our brothers and sisters have convictions in the Lord. It's not up to us now to go around and asking everybody why and sticking our face in every situation where it's not our place. The Bible even teaches us not to be a busybody in other men's matters. It's not up to us to go poking around in everyone's life and to show them how much better we are than them. Who do we think we are? But love for our brother and sister will understand their thought process. Maybe I won't agree, and that's okay. It's okay if we don't agree. My brother might not see eye to eye on me with a certain issue. That doesn't mean that he is sinning, and it doesn't mean that I'm sinning. There are times there are issues that the Bible gives no clear answer to. And so we take those issues to the Lord in prayer. And the answer that the Lord gives me might not be the same one that He gives you. Because the Lord knows our backgrounds. Again, He knows what we struggled with in our unconverted life. And so the answer that the Lord gives me about what not to partake in might be different than what He tells you. And that's okay. We can't let these issues become divisions. Because the devil will use any opportunity that he can to tear us apart. The devil sees how large our gatherings are. And he's doing his best to tear us apart. And it starts with just a little whisper into someone's ear. After church, just a little whisper of one sister to another, one brother to another, and saying something bad about a brother or sister in church. Just one little whisper. Look how much the devil can use that to destroy us. And he's lying in wait. He's literally lying in wait as soon as we leave these doors to take the message that we heard out of our hearts, out of our minds, that we don't even think about it anymore. He's taking the messages that we hear about love and building each other up, and he's right away lurking outside that door to tear us apart. We have to be on our guard. We have to be careful to build each other up, to strengthen each other. There might be something that's not sin. It's not sin. And yet if I do it just to stick it to you, then I have sinned. I am weak. I might, in my pride, I might think I'm strong. I might think that I have more knowledge than you, but if I do something because I know it's going to bother my brother, I have sinned. And that's inexcusable. So my prayer is that we would take this chapter that we have read and not just skip over it. There are times that we read a chapter and we might think, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to modern everyday life? And we can be tempted to think it doesn't. We'll just skip over it. Okay, meat offered and sacrificed unto idols. I think I'll just skip over that and maybe I'll go to the next chapter. But look how much harm we can do to ourselves if we don't stop and take a minute to read, just a couple minutes to read this chapter and to think, what does that mean in my life today? What is there in my life that I can be partaking of that's harming someone else? Nothing that we do should harm someone else in any way. Everything we do, say, think, all should be to the glory of God. And may that be the way that we strive to live our lives every day. May God add a blessing to his word. Amen.